Hey, just a quick word before we start the podcast. My friend Colin Corbett has Crohn's disease and he needs your help. He's having some problems paying some bills, and so he's got a benefit going on. They got a silent auction, they got a raffle, and you can find that in Helena, Montana at 2201 Chestnut Street from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday, June 2nd. So please come and check it out. Colin's a great guy. You can use your support, and that's all I got to say on it.
Skies.
Hey, and I got a Slayer hockey jersey offered the other day too. I should have got it.
A Slayer hockey jersey?
Slayer.
I know Slayer.
They rock. They rule.
I mean, I don't listen to them, but I know.
I only named my daughter. I only named my daughter after the lead singer.
Really?
Tom Araya.
Oh.
Yes, we're satanic.
I named my daughter after an episode of Seinfeld.
That donkey told me to kill people.
I can't wait to use this as evidence in your trial.
Yeah, if this were a Spike Lee movie, we'd just be talking and really hot and sweating for like an hour, and then finally the donkey would start talking. Alright,
I got a new gun.
What the hell do it? What the hell do we say for Montucky Skies?
Grandma?
Welcome
to Montucky Skies.
Oh, there we go. I'm Biggs.
I'm Zach.
I'm Adrian.
I'm Miranda.
What the hell is going on?
A ton of stuff.
So many stuffs.
You just jumped into it. Well, what kind of stuffs?
Well, Zach and I were talking before you guys got here, and DC has announced that they're going to...
I feel betrayed. Hold on. You guys were talking before we got here? You know there's a cone of silence over the living room until all four of us are here.
We're sitting here awkwardly.
We were talking up there.
Remember the end scene of the Avengers? That's what it should be.
Shawarma.
Silent eating until we all show up.
Silent reverence.
All right, anyway.
That DC is going to, not introduce, but they're going to reveal that one of their current characters is going to come out of the closet.
Now, see, I read that they were actually going to invent a new character.
No, they're not going to invent a new character.
So what it was is DC's policy for the longest time is that none of their existing characters would be homosexual. If they were going to have a gay character, they were going to introduce a new character, which they followed, until they announced that they would be reintroducing one of their characters as gay in the New 52.
All right, I've got a few guesses.
Yeah, I've got some guesses, too.
So why don't we all just... Dude, let's just open up the floodgates on this, and this will be fun.
All
right. Robin is very masculine now.
Which Robin? Damian?
That's what I was saying. He's very masculine, so not him. But Nightwing, I don't know.
I think if it's going to be a former Robin, I think it'll be Tim Drake. Because people have speculated he's gay for years.
But
he's
in
Teen Titans.
I gotta say, though, isn't he the...
No, that's
isn't
Jason
he like a
Todd.
Villain? Oh, yeah,
Tim
you're
Drake's
right. You're
the
right.
Leader of Teen Titans.
Okay,
and
yeah,
he's
that
on
makes
a team
sense.
With another gay character. He's a gay teen, which they can do whatever they want with. People have thought he was gay for years. So... He's a possible guess.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think it could be one of the Firestorms, too.
Oh, dude. Dove?
Dove?
Wait, which Dove? The Lady Dove? Or are they going to reintroduce Dude Dove?
Whatever, dude, it's Dove, man. Whichever one is going to be
Well, they've
gay.
Already established
Did they establish
that she's
it's not
Ben
lesbian?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but maybe the relationship was a lie.
She can be bisexual, or it's a lie. He was
her beard.
I think my two biggest ones, the ones I put at even odds, are going to be Wally West or Donna Troy.
Remind me who those are.
Wally West was The Flash.
Okay, okay.
And Donna Troy was the first Wonder Girl.
Wally West, is he the older Flash?
He's the middle one. He's the one after Barry.
Okay.
The redheaded one.
Okay.
From the 90s.
Which they're back to Barry now, right?
Yeah. And they haven't introduced.
I can't remember his last name, but I want to say Levinson, and I know
Gordon.
That's not
Barry
right.
Allen.
Yeah, Barry Gordon. Do some coke and do the song. I can do coke faster than that.
But they haven't introduced them in the New 52 yet. People have been clamoring for them. They'd be easy to change since they don't have any history now.
Yeah.
And if somebody doesn't like them, they've got other Flashes or other Wonder Girls. They can easily just pull it back out if people
if they
have a list
really
of them.
Want it. All right, here's what I hope and know they won't do. Superman.
I hope it's
Dude, especially with that outfit.
You mean
now,
Superman's
man.
Not gay?
They just I think he is, dude. Look at that package he's showing off all
the
time.
He got his cape off the shoulder now.
He wore his underwear on the outside of his clothes, like, flamboyantly, and now no underwear, and you can totally see everything. I think it might be, dude.
I don't think they can do Superman or
no,
Batman.
They won't
or
do Superman.
There's no way they can.
They're not going to do a huge character.
Because if they did and people went crazy and hated it, they can't go back from that.
Okay, can I say this about DC, though? I hope wholeheartedly that they pull this off and do well, but I feel wholeheartedly that they're going to screw it up.
I have a feeling
he's going to suddenly get swishy and stereotypical.
There will be no sensitivity at all.
Yeah, because that's how they handle everything at DC. I'm not saying
there's
that
there's no subtlety at DC.
Yeah, it just seems like the writing staff, for the most part, they. I mean, once again, dude, a gorilla from Africa is trying to take over the world. The Black Batman protects all of Africa.
Yep.
We're not... DC is terrible.
It's not even
crap,
that
dude.
It's like... But the thing is, those stories are still well written. The problem is there's no subtlety to it at all. And
dude,
that's
you should
be
have dropped
the
gorilla
like
character years ago and just come up with somebody else. Like, he's a villain. He doesn't even need to be in the... Like, any villain, except with the exception of maybe like Lex Luthor or the Joker... A lot of Batman's villains. They don't need to be part of the DC universe. They can drop out. They do all the time. When you have a racist character, you drop
them
out.
Make them sound like
60s complete...
political activists. Drop out. They just drop out.
I'm just saying, like, you can make them... You can either, like, reinvent them so that they're not inherently racist or just drop them all together. Like, Marvel, for example, the Mandarin... Such a racist stereotype. In the past, not really
not
anymore.
Now, they've...
Because they've redesigned him over the years because they realize like he's a good
Yellow
villain.
Yellow
Peril but...
doesn't work anymore.
No, yeah, totally. Yeah. No more fangs on Oriental or Asian characters. Yeah. It's just not done anymore. DC, it's just hopefully a step in the right direction. I just worry about
well,
it.
Well, what I found is when people introduce... Their policy of only introducing a gay character as a gay character from day one has worked because when it's that writer's bait, like pet character, they handle it with some sensitivity. Then.
Well, the problem is, well, too,
the,
is that you
bat,
have to come up
the
with the character.
Was done
fantastic.
Well. Was done very well, Batwoman really was. Well. Yeah, who is lesbian. And then at some point they handed it off to somebody else and then it wasn't done well at all because now they're like, yeah, she's going to listen to, you know, all this. I don't know. They turned her into a stereotype at a certain point, but yeah, I worry about this. I hope they do well. But.
Well, it's hard to do it with a brand new character because then you have to have the character be good. I mean, not morally good. I just mean it has to be a good character and be gay or lesbian. You know what I'm saying? You have to invent somebody that's that good. You can't just invent
what
a Batman. You can't invent...
To you know, do to handle it is they need to just get it out there, this character's gay, and then essentially ignore it for a while. Just let it be something that's there. Don't make it what this character is. Like, they don't want people to start saying the gay Flash or the gay Wonder Woman. They just want this character to be, this is just... Wally West, this is who he is, and we're not going to talk about it unless the story demands it, and that's just what it is. He's just a regular superhero like everybody else.
See, and that's where I feel like DC's going to drop the ball.
The first story arc is going to be him and his boyfriend breaking up. Meanwhile, Marvel has a gay marriage issue coming up, and it's like it's nothing.
Yeah.
People don't even realize it's happening.
Well, I mean, like, Marvel's had a racist past for sure, but it's been, as far as I can tell anyway, it's been a long time since they've really, like even like Luke Cage in the 70s kind of towed into like a lot of
Sweet
racist.
Christmas.
Yeah, into a lot of racist. And you look at him now and he's actually like a good role model for like black kids growing up, you know?
and or any kid really, which is the point. Like they don't mention he's from Harlem any more than they mention Daredevil's from Hell's Kitchen or Peter Parker's from the Bronx.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And so Marvel has learned to handle it right, well, to the point of where they, when they did, you know, the Spider-Man reboot and the Ultimate Spider-Man, they handled it really well. Like, yeah. Of course, everybody got upset and up in arms, and most people who don't read the Ultimate Spider-Man and didn't understand it. But when you actually read the issues, they were really well done. He's just a fantastic
character. Like, yeah. That he's black has nothing to do with the character. It's just that he's a good character who wants to be a good hero.
But I know that, like, Brian Michael Bendis had it in the back of his mm-hmm. head. Like, I'm going to make this character half black, half Hispanic. I'm going to make him work.
Yep.
And put him in an iconic role.
And we're going to force people to accept him.
I don't think it was, like, necessarily force, but, like, put it out there and make people look at it.
I think it was to an extent in that if you're going to make Spider-Man black, to a certain extent, you're asking people to say something about it.
Right.
And so then, basically what he's saying is, I'm going to do this, I'm going to write it so well, and he's going to be such a great character, I'm going to dare people to say something.
Yeah. Which, of course, trolls did on the internet.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know...
Not my Ultimate Spider-Man?
Yeah.
That's actually really good, though.
No, it's... Oh, that's what I was saying. Really, I mean, good. And I actually...
And Sarah Pacelli's art.
If anybody wants to check it out, I wrote a review on the first 6 issues of Ultimate Spider-Man. You can find it on Hub Pages if you just do a Google search, but it's, I think I called it, Is Ultimate Spider-Man Any Good? Because, like, that was the one thing that bothered me, was that everybody was judging it before it came out. Yeah. On both sides. People were saying it was great before it came out. More people were saying it would be horrible before it came out. And so I took the time and I figured 6 issues, that's about a trade's worth. I figured that's when you can really tell, like, is a comic good or not. Yeah. And I read the first 6 issues and it's good. It's really good. In fact, I think it's some of the best work Brian Michael Bendis has done.
Well, like, his entire run on Ultimate Spider-Man has been good amazing. From the word go.
Dude, I have been a Spider-Man fan my entire life. It's well documented. My dad's, like, a big Spider-Man fan, so it's second generation. And the thing with Spider-Man is the Ultimate Spider-Man, that whole run that he has done, has been the best storytelling for Spider-Man, period.
It's like, the first Spider-Man really I ever read. It's really good.
Ultimate is?
Mm-hmm. By the time I read it, I didn't know what the Ultimate Universe was. I was kind of floating in and out of comics. And I was like, what the fuck is it? Like, I thought because the movie was coming out, they were just sort of retelling it, but modernizing it. Just sort of what they were doing. And then eventually I caught wind of what the Ultimate Universe was. But I loved it, man. I didn't care that I knew the story. Like, the fact that he doesn't even put on the costume for,
until,
like
6 issues in.
Yeah. And they do that again with this with guy. Miles. I mean, like, which is a good move, because to understand Spider-Man, you have to understand Peter Parker, you know?
You can't... People won't care if Spider-Man gets killed if they don't care about Peter Parker.
Yeah, it's true.
It won't happen.
Yeah. All right, so what are you writing there? Are you writing the next great American novel?
No, I'm writing my things for this deal here.
Pass to the front.
before you go tonight, I'm gonna get you the first 3 issues of Saga for you to read.
Okay,
because they're so good.
I gotta kick you back Deadpool too. I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's not like I haven't read them before. The we were talking earlier too about Chapter 3 that came out, and I won't spoil anything for you tonight.
Is each issue a chapter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just talking about how it's enjoyable. Well, it's a good comic book. It's enjoyable. But it's enjoyable because it's not like other comics. It might have the same form.
It speaks in the same language as other comics.
So it's got like an original voice.
But BKV is a master of his voice.
It's really good. And like I said, I was enthralled by the first 2. I was like really interested. I could tell that it was leading somewhere. And then the third one came. I'm like, bam! I was like, I'm got the seatbelt on now because it's starting to go.
You threw out the Amaral. You're so excited.
Bam! Bam! I watched about 15 minutes of The Captains today.
Oh.
And the funniest thing was that his production company is called Le Big Boss. He's classing it up a little bit with the French, you know?
Yeah.
Le Big Boss.
So, what'd you think? Was it pretty accurate? Like, William Shatner's love letter to himself?
I thought it was... What I noticed was how how little into themselves the other captains are.
No, totally, man. Did you get to the guy who played Sisko? I can't think of his name, but
Black. Yeah, captain. I know. And I remember him.
I didn't want to go there, but fuck.
I remember him from that other show where he was the detective.
Yeah, he's awesome because he's a jazz musician. That's what he did before he got this role. Like, he is a musician, and then from that went into acting, but he plays some piano and stuff. He's awesome. Well, and then, of course, Shatner's doing some stilted, like, reading over it, which is always great.
What was funny was that he was walking. They're at the Hilton in Las Vegas because that's where they have that Star Trek
experience
at. And he's walking down the hallway at the Hilton, and there's all these people he's passing down. They're like,
literally spend 5 minutes showing Shatner walking with like fan adoration.
And then wait, and then when they're walking by, and he's like, hey, and you see this couple right here, and they're just out of the frame, and they're like, oh, look at Spock. And he goes, Spock.
That's not how he said it. He goes, Spock. Sorry, it was real Star Trek.
And then,
motion picture there.
There's people taking pictures with like the faux Star Trek crew and the aliens and stuff. And he's looking at him, and he's standing behind him, like with his head in there in the photo behind him, but no one's noticing him, so he's not happy.
Yeah, that's surprising the people.
Yeah, so then he jumps around, he gets right in the shot. He's like, this kind of a weird fake pose, and then he keeps going, and he's like, and then he still can't let go that someone thought he was Spock. It was awesome. It was pretty awesome. I didn't watch the whole thing. I didn't have time for the whole thing.
I haven't either, dude. I could only make it through an hour. That was the most Shatner I had to.
I had to watch a movie that I rented from Hastings. I had to get back, so I had to watch it before.
Yeah, I'm used to seeing Shatner through the filter of like many other characters involved, and so you only get maybe like 20 solid minutes of Shatner in a Star Trek movie, but seeing him in one dose like that is a little much. You have to separate that stuff out.
I'm not ready to mainline Shatner.
No. Nor should you be. But it is like, if you can appreciate it for what it is, like laugh at it because it's Shatner's love letter to himself.
Right.
It's entertaining. And the other guys are good. Like Patrick Stewart seemed like a really good dude.
Yeah.
You got that far, right?
Yeah, yeah. He seemed
to genuinely like Chris Pine, which was kind of cool. Because I really thought it would be like Shatner would play off like the whole, like rivalry kind of thing between
them. Kirk.
Not at all, dude. But he arm wrestles him.
Had a pretty much point.
The thing that I
only watched 15 minutes of it. I remember you saying that you'd only watched like an hour.
Yeah.
And there's more of it. I kept thinking, okay, to me, I'm watching this now. 45 minutes is about as long as I'd be able to watch this. and it'd be entertaining, at least. You know, after an hour, 2 hours.
It's like, a little much.
It's over.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It's like he's like a silent genius. He can be funny. And what he's doing, he doesn't realize it's funny.
He does.
I don't think he does.
I think.
I think he knows he's trying to be somewhat funny.
On this documentary,
the things that are the funniest, he's serious.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you on this documentary, but Shatner is very capable of being funny, and he's good at it. Like, he's on some level, he knows that he's always going to be Captain Kirk and that there's a lot of comedy to be mined from that, and he's willing to do it because it keeps his name out there. You know, but on some level, when he's at, like you said, when he's at his funniest is when the ego is going. And he's just like, wow.
Thunder defeat the Lakers 106-90.
Nice.
Win the Western Conference semifinals.
Nice.
Russell Westbrook 28 points. Kevin Durant 25.
So we got our Western Conference final officially.
Yep.
Should have gone on sports, oh well. But yeah, it's going to be the Spurs.
That's okay.
We
talked about Alien versus Predator on there. Just
that's right.
It evens
it up. So if you want to hear some AVP talk and AVB2 talk, check out Montucky Sports. I'm sure nobody will. These are so exclusive, man. I don't think anybody listens to them both, even though they're
my
in the same
brother,
stream.
Dude.
Really?
Yeah.
They like them?
Yeah.
Nice. Who's your little brother?
His name's Connor.
Yeah, give him a shout out. Connor. I almost, if my daughter had been a boy, would have been Connor.
Yeah, it's a good name.
Not after Highlander just because we liked it, but like, you know, it didn't hurt.
Terminator?
No, not John Connor, dude.
Oh yeah, in Terminator news, Nick Stahl was found. He wasn't. Did you hear about that?
What?
Nick Stahl, the guy who played John Connor in Terminator 3, went missing.
Oh, it was that guy?
Yeah, they,
oh, in Terminator 3. They found
him.
Okay.
Yeah, he went missing earlier this week.
I heard something about that, yeah.
They found him, or he appeared, writing an email to his friends that he was on drugs and high, and he was going to check himself into rehab. So the reason they couldn't find him is because he was... First he was high, and then he checked himself into rehab and didn't tell anybody.
Oh. And they don't let you call out a lot of the time.
Yeah. So he wrote them an email saying he was going to get himself help, and then he was in rehab, so...
I wonder how he got a hold... I wonder if, like, somebody was watching the TV and they're like, maybe we better put something
Nick,
out.
You want to tell your family where you are?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I'd probably have to go through rehab, too, if I did Terminator 3, man. Ugh.
Oh, okay.
How does it feel to do the one shitty Terminator movie?
Here's one for you. It's on that same lines. I'm at work. What was it? Saturday? And I see Gay Gary in his department. And I'm sitting there because I had to go in there to check with one of the people who work for me what was going on, give him some information. As I'm standing there, I look over my left shoulder and I recognize someone walking toward me. Now, me not thinking, said, "Oh, hey, how's it going?" And sat there and had a conversation with this person. Gay Gary works in the behavioral health unit at the hospital. And then I sat there and had a conversation with this person. And then, you know, they were very into, "Oh, I didn't recognize you without your hair, and you got fat, and all this kind of stuff." And I was like, "Yeah, I don't have hair, and I got fat. Thanks for noticing that stuff." And then everything went on. But then I was like, was that inappropriate of me to say something? Because I did it without thinking. It was like I saw them on the street.
No, I think that's a natural reaction.
Okay, I just wasn't sure. Well, I wasn't sure if that was, if I behaved inappropriately or whatever, because it could be, I thought afterwards that in that situation, in that venue,
that I don't think it's inappropriate unless you were like, "So, what you doing in here?"
No, I wasn't like that at all.
Which is how a normal person would usually ask.
No,
that,
because like I
it caught you off
guard.
I have
been in there and seen people that I know. That I'm like, "Oh, this is in my head. This is excellent. I mean, something's going to help you out here. Or this is great. You've needed this. I'm glad that you've finally taken this step, or someone has forced you to take this step."
I'm glad somebody forced you in here. I got to be honest.
I just wasn't sure about it. And then that leads to another point was at work, we came across this, YouTube clip of this woman in Australia. She's a fisherman, commercial fisherman on a boat, nets and all that kind of good stuff. And 2 years ago, she caught a great white shark in her nets, and they reeled it in, and they went with knives and they cut the shark loose and let the shark go. Every summer since then, when she goes out to go fishing, that great white shark comes up and swims along next to her boat. And kind of just hangs out there, won't attack the boat. She gets out onto the deck next to the water and feeds the shark giant fish with her bare hands. And, like, I mean, holding a fish, the fish is like a foot and a half long. She's holding 6 inches of it while the shark takes the other foot of it. I mean, it's so close. That shark rolls over on its back and presents its belly to her, and she pets its belly.
Can I make a point here? Even if the shark is friendly,
it's nuts,
and
isn't
this
it?
Is all on the up and up,
this is nuts.
That's the worst.
Even if this is a true story, sharks' eyes are on the sides of their head. So if you're holding something out for it, you can't guarantee that the shark's not going to bite your hand off by accident.
You should
accident.
See this shark. It's not going. You think of a shark, it's going. It's going.
Where did you see this?
It's on Yahoo. You can get it. Just Google tame great white shark.
Weird.
It's insane.
I want a pet shark.
It's insane. And then you're at first you're like, "Well, maybe that's a baby shark." And then they pan back and you see how big the shark is. You're like, "Son of a bitch. That's a shark."
Wow.
What?
That's so much
shit.
Wow.
I don't even know how to transition out of that. So I went to a movie the other night. We went, me and the wife went and saw What to Expect When Expecting.
Oh, nice.
Pretty much the opposite of the Avengers. Like, picture the Avengers and then picture the exact opposite of what happened to the Avengers, and you got a pretty good idea what this movie was like.
Was it even funny parts or anything to it?
There actually was quite a few funny parts. The parts that drug for me were the parts that I think they thought would sell the movie, though, which was like the Twilight girl being all dramatic and having a miscarriage.
Well, no, if Twilight's involved, and it's not going
to
be any good.
But Anna Kendrick's the one good actress from Twilight.
Yeah, I know, because I'm in love with her. She's not good in this, though. I'm sorry, man. Like, I don't
that's
know.
Okay. I'm never going to see it, so I can tell you.
It was really funny, too. I lost my wallet in there, and I got it the next day, but this guy was like, so what theater were you in? And I was like, I stopped for a second. I was like, I went with the wife to 7. And he's like, oh, and looks up, and then he goes, how was it?
Like, you can't say the name. You're like, we were in theater. Yeah.
And I was like, the wife. And I just said, the wife liked it.
Wasn't Julia Roberts in it?
No.
Oh, I thought Julia Roberts.
J-Lo's in it.
Yeah, J-Lo is in it.
Never mind.
Brooklyn Decker and who? I don't know. Why do I know there's many cast members?
Because everybody who's in it was like famous for like something. Like, I recognize everybody, and there actually was a few good performances. Dennis Quaid was really good in it. He's like a father who's like a NASCAR driver. He's supposed to be basically Jeff Gordon, but he has like a bar that's like he calls it Margaritaville, and he hits a remote switch and the stage comes out on the edge of the pool with like the grass hut kind of look and all this tequila up on it. Yeah, like a tiki bar. He was pretty funny.
Dennis Quaid will always.
Sorry, Rob Hubel.
Which guy was that?
He's like a pale reddish brown hair.
He was in Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah, he's a comedian.
He's in what?
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Which guy?
He was the heavy metal guy.
I don't remember.
I assume he wasn't that good if he didn't stick out.
I just don't know.
Dennis Quaid always gets props for Innerspace. Remember that movie?
I think he deserves props for Enemy Mine.
I think he deserves props for Any Given Sunday. He was Brett Favre.
That's right. He's a Brett quarterback. Yeah, Dennis Quaid is actually kind of a badass.
Yeah, he's
and
an
Randy Quaid is
awesome
not,
yet.
But I like Randy Quaid too. Randy Quaid, that's weird because that movie, What to Expect and Expecting, is the opposite of the Avengers, and Randy Quaid is the opposite of Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid is a stud. I forgot about Enemy Mine. That was a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah, classic sci-fi. That's the kind of sci-fi I like. Like, they're trying to talk about a bigger theme, but they use, like, a space movie.
That was really, that was so well written when you think about the majority of that movie is just those two on a planet.
Oh, you don't remember your Enemy Mine very well. Only one third of the movie is them on the planet.
Well, it seems
the next third is him raising the child after Louis Gossett Jr. alien dies. And
that's
then
two.
The final third is him going on to the mining planet to kick ass and take the kid back.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, a lot of that was dialogue driven because only two
totally.
People on the screen.
Two thirds of that movie is completely dialogue driven. Yeah. And that's pretty
impressive.
And it's
good.
Yeah.
And as a kid.
No, it stands up.
As a kid, I was like, wow, this is good. And how often can a kid sit there and watch dialogue?
Yeah, I always loved it when Louis Gossett Jr. is teaching him to read in his language. And he's just like,
or however Chewbacca. He says it.
Yeah, he was speaking Wookiee, I guess. How come you never busted out that one? That one's better than mine. That's his gurgle.
I'm known for my Wookiee.
What's that?
Whoa.
Oh.
Hey.
I did it all for the Wookiee. Come on.
Two Limp Bizkit references in one night. It's too much.
That I didn't bring up. I didn't invoke Limp Bizkit the other time.
In fairness, the first one was me.
I invoked Linkin Park, as I recall.
I'm training Araya to recognize that, so if we're ever in a store and I've lost her, or she's lost me, she'll just go...
Work as a GPS. Oh, what the hell were we talking? What to expect and expecting? This is what I'll say. Like, if you have to do one for the wife, or the girlfriend, or whatever, it's all right.
It's like it's for a romantic comedy, or it's not even a romantic for a dramedy. It's okay. Like Chris Rock was really funny in it. Thomas and
Lennon
were pretty funny.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. It's a bunch of dads and.
Sort of, because when you watch the trailer, they make it out like that's the whole crux of the movie. It's an ensemble thing, and there's like probably four couples that have stories, which like they are part of one story, and they're only like maybe half of one story. Not even that. They're like a third of one story.
It was so sad.
So they don't have a lot of screen time, but it's really good when they are on the screen.
It was so sad to me. Is like we're at a point now. We've been at this point for a while, but like when I see Chris Rock in a movie, I'm like, oh.
No, because it's...
Chris Rock used to be funny.
No, Chris Rock is great when he's not the star of the movie.
Yes.
Like, every time I see him in a movie and he's not the star, he's great in it. Or if it's an ensemble cast, he's good. When you put him front and center, it's terrible.
You get, I Think I Love My Wife.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, you're exactly right.
I was
going to
say
right.
Head of State.
They're all the same.
CB4 was awesome.
Ensemble. He's only one of they're telling the story from three rappers and the manager.
He wasn't half big.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
No, that was Dave Chappelle.
No, he was one of the cameo people, like Jon Stewart and Willie Nelson. He wasn't. Snoop Dogg, wasn't he?
No.
I thought he was.
IMDb, I got this.
All right. So while you're looking that up, I'll give some other examples. Lethal Weapon 4, he's great in.
Dogma
is great in. That was actually the very next one I was going to go to. Yeah, so that's the thing with Chris Rock. You got to put him around a lot of fun. Even what was the funeral one he just did?
Death at a Funeral?
Yeah, was it Death at a Funeral?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I wanted to say, and then I stopped. But yeah, that was really funny, too. But, I mean, he's one of, like, eight characters that
the British one's still better, though.
It is really good.
I didn't even know it was
The British one's fantastic. It's got Alan Tudyk in it. In the James Marsden role. Peter Dinklage is still in it, so you get the awesome Dinklage factor. It's really good. I highly recommend it.
Let me ask you a question. Do you know Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yeah, I know
Benedict. Yeah, I told you! Real person!
Ever since I found out...
I didn't make it up.
Benedict Cumberbatch was something you could name a baby, I've been mad at my parents.
He's going to be Khan, or a villain, but it's starting to sound like he's really going to be Khan.
And he's Sherlock, and he's Smaug in The Hobbit, mm-hmm. and he just went to visit the Marvel offices.
So there you go. If you don't know Benedict Cumberbatch now, you will. Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure everybody at this table will eventually see The Hobbit.
You know what? Yeah. I'm sure I will.
I'm not even excited about it, but I'll totally go to see it.
I'll see it.
But
it's
just weird because I was excited about it. I probably enjoyed it more than I liked the Lord of the Rings because
it just something
nine
about
dwarves.
Yeah,
something about
I love dwarves.
The trailer didn't really make me want to go.
No, the trailer didn't look good at all. But I'm gonna go see it. Yeah. If it sucks, I won't go see whatever they're doing for part two, but...
I hope they're not expecting it to, like, outdo the Avengers or something like that. That's not going to
happen. Oh, no. Nothing's going to outdo the Avengers till 2 years from now, probably. Maybe next year.
The Dark Knight Rises could do it.
I don't think so.
It will either.
It's the one this year that has the potential.
It's the only one that has the potential. I'll agree with you on that, but it won't, and I'll tell you why it won't. There's no buzz behind it.
There's still time for Tom Hardy to die. God, I hope he doesn't. I really hope he doesn't because I have a man crush.
This is the thing
but...
before. What's his face died? Heath Ledger, as Greg calls him, Heath Legend. Before he died, there was already massive buzz about it. I mean, like, I saw that trailer and I was excited. And I remember my dad was just like, I don't see what the big deal is. I'm like, you don't understand. They got the Joker right. He's like, well, I like Jack Nicholson. I'm like, but the Joker looks scary in this. Like, he should be scary.
You know what I love?
But my dad never read a Batman, so he doesn't
understand. You know, I just watched a movie I ran into Hastings the other day. It's a foreign film called The Last Circus. It's a strange movie. It takes place in Spain. And it's basically about a sad clown and a happy clown.
Oh, that are doing fucked up shit to each other?
Oh, man. It's like if you took Nicholson's Joker and Heath Ledger's Joker and had them just duke it out for an hour.
Yeah, I've heard that's
real fucked
up. Where'd you get that at?
Hastings.
At Hastings?
Yeah, on Blu-ray.
It's like what's a giant called again?
The Last Circus. The first scene in this movie takes place during the Spanish Civil War.
What?
Remember when we started doing this? And we kept mentioning Hastings all the time, hoping that we would get sponsorship, free comic books, and everything. Remember that? Yeah.
Well, you were the one hoping. I never really held out hope that would happen. Comics. That's just a joke for me because I refuse to like overly endorse anything except for movies because they won't pay me.
And DCBService.com.
Right. I don't care about that stuff. I just like. Anyway,
so the opening sequence for this movie is it takes place at a circus. They're doing an act with the two clowns, and like the building starts shaking. They're like bombing the place, but this army breaks in. Like anybody who's old enough to hold a gun, you need to be outside right now. So like this guy's wearing clown makeup. And he's wearing a dress in clown makeup. And they hand him a machete. And so he's going through, just tearing through this army of guys with a machete and clown makeup. Is the opening sequence for this movie.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds like it'll give me nightmares and I can't wait.
Is it Black and White? Circus.
No, it's actually a really well done movie. It had a really large production.
It's subtitled?
It is subtitled.
That's okay. Dead Snow was subtitled, and that was
instantly. You know, this one actually had like, you know, a really good production budget, and they used it well.
You know what was? I watched it in the American version first, but then I watched it again in the German version and subtitled, and it still was just as good. Was Funny Games?
Funny Games is really good.
Oh, it's
Funny Games. Is that the Home Invasion one?
Yeah, it's so. It's so freaked. That is. I've seen some pretty scary and freaky movies. You know, by far, the most disturbing movie I've ever seen is Funny Games. When I got done watching that movie, the very last scene with Michael Pitt.
Yeah,
looking into the camera and that music going on in the back, you're just like, holy shit, holy shit, it's so good. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but
you already did, dude. You literally laid out
the entire
thing on this podcast. In fact, I'll repeat it just to show that I know what you're talking about. There's a part where like they're fucking with the girl and she like grabs a gun and shoots him and kills him and then finds a videotape.
No,
he grabs a remote and rewinds it.
Oh, it's so messed up. That was so messed up.
Yeah, I mean, you literally laid out the entire
movie. The movie's been out for years.
To be fair, I think I had spoiled the movie in its entirety before that, as did Brandon. So we just completely ruined three movies.
Zach, you get your free spoiler. Remember that.
All right, I'll save it for a good one. Next time there's a Sixth Sense type spoiler, I can just drop the bomb on.
I try to say spoiler, but a lot of the time I don't.
Rosebud's
care.
A sled.
Soiling Green is people.
Crying Game, it's a girl.
Is Tyler Durden.
Oh, you motherfucker. I'm editing that out. Fight Club should not be ruined for anybody because it was ruined.
No one
ruined.
Talks about
it. It was ruined for me. Yeah, the first rule about Fight Club is
don't talk about
who Tyler Durden is in Fight Club. I love Fight Club, man.
It's my favorite movie.
I just realized I went to pop it in the other day, and I'm such an idiot, dude. Sometimes I wonder if I'm brain damaged because I went to do it for the third time in like a year and went, damn it, I forgot the DVD scratch. Like, I bought that DVD years ago and the kids scratched it and I can't watch it and I keep forgetting to buy it like on Blu-ray or something. That's when it's worth it. I'm going to watch it like a million times.
I refuse to watch that movie in the theater. Because I
thought it would look stupid from the ads, and I was so wrong.
They could not have mismarketed
it. I was like,
yeah, it looked like a dumb, mindless action.
I am not paying money to watch Brad Pitt be a badass. I'm not going to do it. And so finally, I went down. This is back when I lived back home. I walked down to Kmart, and I was walking through, and they had like, you know, they have those bins in the middle full of VHS tapes, and Fight Club was one. And I'm like, well, everybody's talking about this. Maybe I'll watch it. It's only like $1.99. So I bought it. I took it home. Totally in Spanish, and I had to read subtitles. And it was
Tu eres fuerte. Tu eres fuerte.
No, that was messed up was that it's dubbed in Spanish. So he's moving in English, his mouth. It's being dubbed in Spanish, and then I'm having to read back in English what's happening. And I had to do all that work, and it was still an awesome movie. I watched that same speech over and over.
You watched it straight, right? Like the way it's supposed to be watched? Or... No?
What do you mean?
I mean, did you watch it actually spoken in English and not subtitled?
No, I didn't have that option.
No, you didn't? Oh, well, you should. Whenever I remember to buy it on Blu-ray, you don't have a play. You can come over and watch it.
Blu-ray.
Brandon finally got a Blu-ray player.
Blu-ray, that's for hipsters. You know?
I bet Zach's got a Blu-ray.
I don't. I don't even own a computer.
Hipsters. Shit all over my point, Zach. Wait, what?
I don't even own a computer.
Really?
Yeah, I broke it like 2 years ago.
How do you listen to podcasts? Somebody else's? iPhone. Your phone, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, that makes sense.
It's got the iTunes store on there, so I can just drag them right on.
You know, I keep meaning to like pick up some of Chris Paul, the author of the Fight Club. He's written
Chris
whole,
Palahniuk? Yeah, he's fantastic. Chuck Palahniuk.
Yeah.
Chuck Palahniuk.
I was like, who the hell are you guys talking Chris about?
Yeah, Chuck Palahniuk. His stuff's really good. Invisible Monsters is really good.
I love Fight Club, and I like hearing him in interviews, but I've tried to read like two of his books, and they make me ill.
Do you know what?
They really do, because he's so descriptive. Have you read the short story of Guts? No, and
he
I won't.
Keeps
I've
track
heard
of
about
how many
it.
People faint every
yeah,
time he goes
Yeah, I've heard him tell about it.
He's up to 73.
Well, he's awesome. I have nothing but respect for Chuck Palahniuk, mm-hmm. but his writing like makes me too queasy to.
I
want to
say
book.
Archie, for a long time, would always try to tell me that Palahniuk was the new Kurt Vonnegut. He's like this big Kurt Vonnegut fan. He's a huge Fight Club fan.
I love Kurt Vonnegut too. Mm-hmm. Slaughterhouse 5 is like one of my top 10 books.
Wasn't it required reading in high school?
Not for me, but I wouldn't be surprised. There is like a sex scene in it, so I mean it probably depends on where you go to high school.
Las Vegas.
Yeah, definitely required reading. I'm gonna go with like Showgirls the novelization. required reading in Vegas. Remember when they used to do that? You're probably too young to remember this.
You probably weren't alive. About?
Not really.
They
would put out a movie, and like a week before the movie came out, they'd do a novelization of the movie. But they would write it.
Still do that.
They would write it just like because the movie was coming out. It wasn't even based off a book.
Well,
they
you know
used
what
the
best part
the
was
time.
Though? They would include the scenes that later got cut out of the movie. Because the first novelization...
And
was
they
the
would have
Daredevil
scenes that
one.
Weren't even ever
Yeah,
in
they were
the
just
movie.
In the script and never got filmed.
Yeah.
Yeah, novelizations ruled.
Sometimes they're terrible.
Well,
that led us into a big fight, actually, because Brandon was talking about the guy who wrote Total Recall, and I was like, Piers Anthony. And he said some other dude, I don't remember now. And he was like, no, it's a short story by this guy. And I was like, no, it's a full fucking novel, and it was written by Piers Anthony. We got in a fight, and so I looked it up on the net, like, after the podcast is over. And we were, like, both right, because it was based off a short story, and then they did the novelization. And I read the novel, like, right before the movie came out, done by Piers Anthony, who also wrote one of the Star Wars ones.
That reminded me, you were talking about Hunger Games last week, you went to see it and everything.
Yeah.
Didn't you just think that was The Running Man?
No. But, I mean, I've also read the book of The Running Man. Like, I think it had influences, but I don't think it was Running Man by any stretch. And quite frankly, the movie of The Running Man like went so far off of what the book was that not as bad as Lawnmower Man.
Idea.
Have you guys... Oh. Well, hold on. I know Brandon knows. Have you guys ever... You've seen Lawnmower Man, mm-hmm. right?
The first one a long, long time ago when I was a kid.
Have you ever read the short story it's based off of?
No.
Okay. Let me just...
Spoiler.
Yeah. Let me tell you what the movie's about first, and then let me tell you what the book's about. So, the movie, which... I know, I haven't watched in years, but I already know doesn't hold up. Was basically like virtual reality was starting to become a potential thing, and everybody was like, ooh,
the mentally challenged guy.
Yeah, so it's like a mentally challenged guy who mows lawns, who gets into virtual reality, and then eventually controls his computer world, and then he's trying to make the computer world take over the real world. Like, completely implausible, would never work, but at the time, virtual reality was a big thing. Everybody thought we were going to go to it.
To come back to virtual reality when you're done.
Okay. So, it was based on, it was Stephen King's Lawnmower Man. They advertised it. Well, Stephen King did this lawsuit and sued the shit out of him and won. And I always wondered, like, why was he so mad? And so, it was a short story in Graveyard Shift. And so, I happened to have, like, stolen Graveyard Shift from a school library when I was, like, in fourth grade. And kind of forgot about it and found it, and it caused me guilt for years. And I finally got rid of it a couple years ago.
Because I gave it back.
I felt, no,
25 well, years later,
dude. It's in Oregon, man. It's not exactly an easy trek to like return that book. But I felt guilty about it, and so I'm getting off topic. Anyway, there was a couple short stories I had read in there, and one of them was Lawnmower Man, and I was like, holy shit! So I sat down and read it. This is what the short story of The Lawnmower Man is about. This guy, and it's 13 pages long. I'm just going to spoil it. This guy, like, has a lawn, and he doesn't ever mow it. And so it gets to where the grass is, like, a couple feet high. And he eventually is like, oh, God, I got to mow it, but it's going to be a major pain in the ass. So he calls his company to come and mow it. So this guy shows up, and he takes off it. He's got a big belly. And he takes off his shoes, and he's only got three toes on each foot. And then he starts eating the grass. And then he finds rabbits that are, like, in the grass and violently eats the rabbits and, like, runs over them and stuff with the lawnmower as he's eating the grass trailing behind it. Then the guy goes out to stop him, and he winds up running over the guy with the lawnmower and eating him. That was the story. That was the book of The Lawnmower Man that they turned into a virtual reality movie. That was, like, and the only reason I mentioned is, like, that is the worst adaptation of a short story I have ever read. They improved it, don't get me wrong, because it was a shitty short story that they turned into a less shitty movie. But, my God, dude, you couldn't get farther off
the... I love that book, The Graveyard Shift.
Oh, it was a great book. It was a great book. That was not the best short story, but... He never intended it to be a movie either.
Like my favorite one out of there was the one with the surgeon that gets stranded.
You're thinking of Skeleton Crew.
Maybe I am.
Yeah. So the famous short stories that everybody knows at a Night Shift were Cat's Eye.
Now you said Graveyard Shift.
Yeah. No, the ones...
You just said Night Shift.
Or sorry, not out of Night Shift. Ones out of Night Shift that everybody knows were the ones.
You just did it again.
I don't know, dude. You got me all backwards now.
Graveyard Shift.
Graveyard Shift, where all the stories in The Cat's Eye. If you ever saw that, the dude who quit smoking and they cut off like your wife's panky at a certain point and shit like that. Never mind. It doesn't matter. Virtual reality, Adrian.
Virtual reality. I was probably 21. I had to be 21 because we were going out drinking and stuff. And there was this club in Vegas called, what was it called? It doesn't matter what it was called. Boomerangs. And it was called Boomerangs, and it kind of had an Australian kind of influence to it. And it wasn't like what you would think of as Vegas nightclub. You know, it wasn't all dark and shiny and glittery and... People weren't coming and all dressed.
There was like didgeridoos and people saying.
No, it was like
saying vagina.
It was like you're in, you know, you're out on the beach somewhere, everywhere, and they had a beach volleyball court, and they actually had AVP volleyball tours that came through there. They had bleachers set up on each side, people could watch. American Volleyball Professional Volleyball Association, or
okay,
like when you watch the beach volleyball on TV.
I mean, I never do, but that's the I saw the movie Side Out. Does that count?
Yes.
Pretty much.
And
it had a titty scene, but it was used to watch it a lot.
It was this great bar because they had a dance floor if you wanted to dance, and there's girls who came to dance, so there's girls there. They had like about 10 pool tables, a really great bar that was an L shape, but you always had room to walk up, and there was always a bartender there to give you your drink. You never had to wait in line. They had connected to it the best Mexican restaurant in all of Vegas is called Roberto's, and they have little ones everywhere. This was connected to the bar. You could get into Roberto's from outside if you were picking up your food or you're just driving by, or you could walk from the bar through a door and you're in Roberto's taco shop. And right next to that was the virtual reality room. Now, this consisted of a black chair that you sat in and a TV screen that came in front of you. And everything, it was like asteroids. Everything was like a line segments brought together. It reminded me of, remember in the arcade, Star Wars, the video game they had, and you're flying the X-Wing fighter, but everything's in lines.
And you shoot, you basically shoot giant snowflakes at people. I know what you're talking about. I still love that game.
They need an arcade in this town, is what they need. And usually at the theater, they have an arcade, and they don't have one here.
You know what, though? Arcades are dying, man. When I go to, Portland, Seattle, San Francisco.
They even tried the GamePod thing here.
They still have GamePod here. They do. It's just a Nomad. It keeps moving around everywhere. It's back downtown now. I walked by it the other day. It was before that. It was in Staggering Ox, and before that, it was downtown. It's nomadic.
There's nothing like standing up in front of a Street Fighter Championship Edition machine. And just standing NBA there for Jam. Hours.
NBA Jam. Mm. That was a great game. Me and Greg used to play that. We used to play this one that was like all NBA Jam, and then it was NBA Jam or NFL Blitz. Like you could pick which one. Of me and Greg used to always play NBA Jam, and then at a certain point they replaced that just an NFL Blitz, and we're like, fuck. But there's nothing else we wanted to play, so we started getting on NFL Blitz, and that game was just as brilliant as NBA.
That's the one thing I miss about
ridiculous,
not
dude.
Having a game system is that, I have that Atari hand stick thing that has four games on it.
God, you're old.
But
I got the old ColecoVision. It's really hard to find the coaxial port on my TV anymore.
But I would just want, I don't even need that new, just like a first edition PlayStation, and then just Street Fighter.
If you got $5, you can go down to Goodwill here. I'm sure they got 10 of
them. Dude, buy a PlayStation 3. You can still play PlayStation games.
I'm not spending hundreds of dollars on nothing like that. I'd only have three games.
Then you'd have a Blu-ray player.
I'd want Street Fighter. I want
You'd have
Madden.
A Netflix machine, too.
I have Netflix on my computer.
Except for you could watch it on your TV.
Oh, yeah, that TV over there?
Yeah, your giant HD TV that you'll buy after you
do all that stuff. Yeah.
Totally utilize your PlayStation.
My wife just let me buy a gun. She's not going to let me buy a TV.
Yeah, fair enough. You got a kid on the way.
Yeah.
You got to go.
Yeah, I got to head out pretty quick.
Yeah, we should probably wrap this up.
I
got a
rant about Community.
All right, go ahead.
2 minutes. Okay. Fuck Sony. Fuck NBC. Fuck Bob Greenblatt. You don't pull out the showrunner of your show that you just renewed. The one guy who comes up with every single story, approves every script, the guy who created the tone of the show that people love. You don't just pull him out and replace him with the guys who did Just Shoot Me.
Oh, really?
You don't do that.
He pulled out the Just Shoot Me reference.
You don't get rid of him and then not tell him so that he has to find out on the internet.
Oh, that sucks.
He created this show is a totally different show without him. You do not get rid of him and keep the show. The show is him. It's just all spawned from his brain, and it's not they. If you want to make it a generic comedy, just get something else. I'm sure you get 15 generic pilots a year. Don't ruin a beloved show just because it has low ratings. If you're gonna do something, cancel it. At least then we can just live in peace knowing we had the good years.
Yeah, it's tough when you watch a show you love get bad.
Fuck Bob Greenblatt forever. All the writers are leaving now, so we don't even have that the good writers are still there.
Was Joel ever have anything to do with the writing, or is he just acting?
He's just acting. It's a good show. Everyone should watch it. Give it a shot. It takes a couple episodes to get into it, but it's awesome.
I watched 2 and I hated it.
Which 2 did you
the
watch?
The first 2.
Oh, well, that's why. It doesn't get good until like episode 6 or 7.
Is it that far down the line?
Yeah. Okay. It's right around the Halloween episode in the first season. Because it starts out as like a
generic if it gets good by episode 6, maybe I can sit down and watch some more.
Yeah. Give it a shot. Because the characters are nothing like they were in the first 5 episodes.
No, they changed totally. They totally changed. Abed is hilarious.
Abed's great. Troy's great.
The
Britta, the AT&T of people, is great.
Britta... She's the blonde chick that you watched in the
AT&T of people.
The only person, I'm going to be honest, because I only watched Chevy? Two episodes. Yeah, that's the only guy I remember. Because
Chevy is still pretty much Chevy throughout the entire show.
He's just funny as hell. He can do whatever he wants. The thing that really got me was, I hate Britta.
She gets better. She doesn't get good until like the third season. This one's just there. But then she's fantastic because they just say, screw it. You're just going to be this annoying hipster girl who says everything's stupid. Everyone knows you're stupid on the show. And you get to be funny because of it. Because you get to make all the shitty jokes you want.
Well, I started watching it because I was a Talk Soup fan. Mm-hmm. And so I started watching it. And Joel's funny in it. He's a little over the top in the beginning. Like you said, it gets better as it goes on. Britta, it takes some
time to find that.
But I got to tell you, I kept watching, and I can't think of her name.
Allison Brie?
Is she the school, the book nerd? Reminded me of my wife, actually. She did. You know what I'm talking about? What's grown?
No, I don't. I told you I don't remember.
Watch the show. Do yourself a favor. It's awesome.
All right, and the paintball war one. The dean of the college is hilarious.
The fake clip show episode where they reflect on all the adventures you have that never became episodes is great.
Really?
There's a fake clip show where they're talking about all the adventures they had during the season.
That you just never saw.
That never became episodes. So it's basically all the failed ideas from the writers.
That's awesome.
It is. It's not the greatest show, but it's not. It's worth. When not it's
at
of,
its best, yeah. It's among the best shows on TV. It's wildly inconsistent, but they swing for the fences, and so when it's good, it's
so there's strikeouts and home runs.
Yeah, what's his the first guy, Glover? What's his
Donald Glover?
He's considered one of the top 10 breakout comedians.
I keep hearing something about him, he's like great. Wanting to do Spider-Man.
No, people he looks wanted him to do.
He Spider-Man. Looks like he looks like Ultimate Spider-Man.
Well, no. This was the thing with all that was Brian Michael Bendis. What I heard about it was that's what started to give him the idea.
Yeah.
We just wrapped around to the beginning. But, that's what gave him the idea to do it. The initial little nugget of something was that there was this big thing they wanted him to play as Spider-Man and the Amazing Spider-Man coming out. Like there's an internet campaign. And he was like, yeah, why can't a black person do Spider-Man? That's kind of messed up. And that was the little nugget of an idea that led to him.
He does a great bit about it, too, where he's like, if you just listen to Spider-Man's origin without knowing that he's a white kid, it's clearly a black guy.
Well, yeah, he's in the Bronx.
Yeah, he's in a shitty part of New York. He's dirt poor. His parents are dead.
He doesn't know. Yeah, he doesn't know. Well, he doesn't know who his parents even are. That's the thing. Parents were S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, but I'm enough of a nerd to know that.
Sometimes they're S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
Well,
sometimes they're not. Depends on the story.
I mean, if you go with the continuity from like the...
They've retconned it so many times. I think it was the 80s. Yeah.
When they had the original story, they were S.H.I.E.L.D. agents and they were held captive by the Russians.
They've been so many different things.
Yeah.
But... The best part is in The Amazing Spider-Man now, as a reference to the Donald Glover campaign for Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield's Peter Parker has Childish Gambino posters on his wall as a nice little reference to it. So Donald Glover ended up in the movie anyways.
Yeah, I love how they do stuff like that. Yeah. Don't take themselves too seriously. I liked how Sam Raimi in the first Spider-Man did the whole thing where they have the street musician singing the Spider-Man song.
Yeah.
Lucy Liu, guy with six arms, sounds pretty hot to me. Or not Lucy Liu, Lucy Lawless. Whole different person.
Big different person.
Yeah.
Chinese American versus Australian.
New Zealand.
She's a Canadian.
Yeah, you're right, New Zealand. Yeah. wait. Isn't she Australian? She's from New Zealand. Filmed in New Zealand?
No, she's from New Zealand. Here's the thing. Lucy Lawless, everybody loved her from Xena and everything like that.
I also loved her in the Gladiator show.
Spartacus?
Yeah, Spartacus.
Yeah.
And you get to see her boob.
She was awesome in Flight of the Conchords.
Who'd she play in Flight of the Conchords?
You remember when...
I do remember when that went off. It was depressing.
It was
depressing. Had to go in medical emergency.
Remember when they were turning that little area town to Little New Zealand?
No. It was that in the, that must have been in the second season.
It was like the
I
very,
might have missed it. There's a couple episodes in the second season I think.
The second it was the second to last episode. They were adjacent to Little China or Chinatown and they were making New Zealand town. It was like a block and a half. and Murray was running it.
Murray shouldn't run anything.
Murray should have his own show. He is the best. He was so good. I watched it because I loved Jermaine and Brett. And you know, and the songs are just genius.
Yeah.
They're great. But Murray, he was the best. He had, even Amy, she's like, I love that guy.
He was the best. So hopeless, man.
But Lucy Lawless was on Flight of the Conchords because she was like the celebrity they were going to use to draw people onto the bus that they drove for a block and a half to show people this is this and this is this part of New Zealand.
So it's like one building.
Yeah, it was. And and they were going to sit on the street and play, you know, music for everybody to come play. Damn, Lucy Lawless looked good.
No, she looks good. Man. Holy. She went out with Larry David in an episode of Curb. She played herself. I don't remember how Larry blows it.
But I remember seeing Xena. I never really watched Xena, but I remember seeing pictures of it. I was like, damn, that chick is big.
She's who? Lucy Lawless?
Yeah.
I don't know. I always found her hot.
She was
beat very important to my pubescent development. She
was for me. You know who was even better, though? Was it Gabrielle? No, not Gabrielle. Who is the villain in that?
The blonde villain?
Yeah, the blonde.
I can picture her, too.
She was so fine, man. The hell was her name? It doesn't matter. She was like a villain, and at the very end, I don't know what the hell happened, but she became an angel at some point.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I
only have the briefest of memories of that show.
She was in a lot of episodes, though. She was, they had one where she switches bodies with Xena.
Oh, I think I remember who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I have four from my pubescent era. Was Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
Who's still I'm down with.
Me too, because I mean, she's always been slightly older than me, so even when I was a little kid, it wasn't creepy lusting after her. She was always older than me, still is.
Claudia Schiffer.
Always will be.
She was hot, but she was almost like short heyday for me.
Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, she was fine. Which, when I look back, like, that was something of the time. I don't know.
Have you seen her today? Damn, she looks exactly the same.
No.
Elle McPherson.
Yeah, Elle McPherson's fine. Sirens. Still fine, too.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Sirens.
Yeah.
Brandon's
the
like...
The only reason to watch that movie.
Brandon's like Lucille Ball.
Oh, you're older than me, man.
Yeah, you're closer to that than me. So. Then again, people. you were talking about the Stooges the other day.
All those people you just named are at least 20 years older than me.
No, they're that much. No, Alyssa Milano is not that much older than you because I'm the same age as Alyssa Milano.
Okay. How old are you?
I'm 20.
Dude, she might be. I'm 23, and it seemed like she's.
So okay, so maybe she's 40 years older than me.
I think she's my age.
I think she's older than you.
All right, Google.
Google.
Yeah. IMDb that shit.
Maybe it makes me feel older when people Google like stuff like that. I'm gonna find out that I'm older than Alyssa.
She's still hot, so it's like it skews it. You think she's younger than she is. But I'm pretty sure
Alyssa Milano is 39.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, good.
She's 19 years older than me.
There you go.
I mean, that I would accept that if you were to say 20. That's
that's rounding up.
Yeah, that's
man,
close.
She's 39.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what her birthday is, she's only 2 years older than me.
Yeah,
depending.
6 years older than me.
Damn.
See, she was always if I went to school with Alyssa Milano, she'd always be one school ahead of me.
Do what makes me feel young is I think that when I married my wife, she was 24.
You know what makes me feel young?
Standing.
I
right
can't
here.
Legally drink.
It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing.
Oh my god!
My wife is 6 years younger than me. That always makes me feel like at least I have a young wife.
You know, Alicia Silverstone was one of those ones for me.
Never got that. Never got
yeah,
that.
But you were too old. Because
Clueless
probably.
And Batman and Robin. That was influential for me. That was influential.
I was thinking more of the Aerosmith video she was in. She was very
Liv Tyler.
Hot. Yeah, Liv Tyler was hot, but I never put. Because at certain angles, she kind of looks like dog shit.
Mm.
I mean, she can be very hot, but like Alanis Morissette's that way too.
like, depending on what angle you see her at, sometimes she's really hot and sometimes you're like,
ugh. Do you know who is a big thing? And it was on the computer today and I just happened, it was there on Yahoo or something like that, and I was looking at it. That Megan Fox chick, she's not that hot.
What? No, she's super hot. All right. Okay. Maybe you can back me up. No, let me put it this way. If you don't think she's hot, I want you to go into Hastings, the poster section, and there's one that's a super fox where she's in a Supergirl outfit.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Really?
No.
Dude, really? We just have very different ideas about hot. I don't know, man. She's hot. Now, when you hear her open her mouth, I can understand how she loses.
She's trashy for me, though.
Oh, she's trashy, but she's trashy hot.
Dude, he's like, he's trashy in all the good ways.
Dude, Britney Spears is around my age. Trashy hot can be fun. Britney Spears has always been trashy hot from the very get-go.
I'm not big on Britney Spears either.
No, it's like one of those things, like... It looks like it would be so great, and then you realize, like, oh man, I'm doing this in this trailer with all this mess around. This kid's like watching us, waiting for his bottle, and like
that's horrible, baby.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
that's sex at a trailer park. I don't know what to tell you, dude. There's a certain taboo appeal to it.
Ooh, that's a trailer park tale.
Careful what you say. You might actually get a tail in a trailer park. And it happens. They drink a lot when they're pregnant in the trailer.
That's when you become a superhero.
It'll never happen again. I watched Red State. I know
it. I lived in a trailer, and I know the ways of trailer folk. All right, we should cut it off there. Right. I'm Biggs.
I'm Zach.
I'm Adrian.
I'm Brandon.
Take it easy.